Well, the No Theater is beginning off the second half of the 2012-13 season with a new play from Australia called When the Rain Stops Falling. And joining me this evening in the studio is the director of the show, Brian Isaac Phillips. Welcome, Brian.
Hi, thanks for having me.
When the Rain Stops Falling is a fairly new play out of Australia. Give us an idea of what the story is about.
This story is epic. I'm not even sure how to explain it in the time allotted for a radio interview, but essentially it spans generations. It starts in the future as a fish falls from the heavens, and we get introduced to essentially this family and the people that make up the family over the generations as they try to investigate where they're from, how they got there, what their identity is in a world that seems to be moving closer and closer towards oblivion. So we get to visit London in the 60s and the 80s, and then we're in Australia in the 80s and in 2012 and in the future. So it is an epic story that involves an intimate number of characters that is one of the most moving contemporary plays that I have read in quite some time.
And with regards to the time travel aspect of it, are we witnessing the same actors playing the same characters? Does the son become the father earlier?
No, it is actually because everybody is on stage at the same time at different moments throughout the play. You are seeing two actors play the same character at different stages in their life. So it's been a very fascinating process, especially going through the casting process as we try to find actors that resemble each other and look like, oh, that's a younger version of Gabrielle, that's an older version of Gabrielle, and who's the perfect fit.
Of course, any play that takes a panoramic look at several periods, you have to take into consideration the language of each era and the social mores and other considerations. Is this a big factor in this particular play?
Absolutely. Trying to make sure that we are very clearly defining each time period as we move back and forth without being heavy-handed. So when we move into the 60s, trying to avoid bell bottoms or the Who on the radio to try to hit you in the head with a hammer to say you're in the 60s, but trying to make sure that each period is represented in a tasteful way that is clear to the audience about exactly where we're at, but does not involve garish clothing or other things like that to dumb it down for the audience. For me, there is such a sense of mystery to the play, that there is an investigation going on as each of these characters are trying to find out who they are and what's going on and why. That mystery and that drive to the show and not laying out all the answers from the very first moment has been a very important piece of crafting the production. That it's something where we really want the audience to lean forward and try to connect the dots just as the characters are connecting the dots. I love this type of play and I love working on it at the No. One of the things that I feel we do very well at my day job over at the Shakespeare Company is taking these grand tragedies, these great histories, and bringing them to life in a little room. And I feel as if this play has that same type of scope. And of course, we're in a very intimate space, and it's returning to material or a type of material that is very challenging. But when it is successfully staged, it is absolutely one of the most rewarding experiences you could have.
Now, you mentioned that this is a family trying to find out where they came from, all started by a fish falling from the sky. Why is it so important to them to find out where they came from?
Well, I think it's important to everybody to figure out where we come from. Why do we do the things that we do? We all have the profound basic questions of why are we here? What are we doing? As each person is trying to figure that out, they're also trying to figure out why they do what they do based on their own genetic makeup. What is it that I do? What behavior patterns that I have that are a direct result of my mother and father? And what genes am I going to pass down, wanted or unwanted, to the next generation? And I think that those are things that people do think about and people do worry about, and that it's a universal fear. I think there's a universal fear about not just what sort of repercussions our genetic makeup is going to have on future generations, but also the way in which we're living in the world. What is that going to do to future generations and the people around us? It seems like it is very clear from the beginning of this play that there is an end of the world scenario taking place. And each choice that we make has a direct effect on the people around us and the future. And I think that this play does a really great job of bringing that home in a very personal manner.
You started directing the show the day after you opened Richard II at the Shakespeare Company, your theater. Do you like being this busy?
I do. I very much do. when the right project and the right play comes along and it's something that I feel compelled to do, then I will move heaven and earth and schedules to make sure that I'm able to participate. Eric and I have a really great relationship, and he let me read a couple of plays that were under consideration for their season. And I read this thing, and I just could not stop thinking about it. I said, if you would love to have me on board, this is a project I'd love to work on. And knowing what my schedule is so far in advance over at the Shakespeare Company, it was possible to make sure that I could fit it in and work on it. But I do love being busy when the material is this fantastic.
Do you find as a director that you're often given the opportunity to kind of work with a theater company to decide what show you're going to do, or how does that work?
No, I don't think so. I think that the producing artistic director sort of has the material that they're interested in, and this is one that I think Eric was very excited about and I happen to be excited about, so it looked like a perfect marriage. But having directed Angels in America for him a couple years ago, that was something that was selected by the artistic director, and I just happened to have a conversation saying that that's a project that I'm passionate about and I think I could do an okay job for you on, and it's the same here. I'm the only place that I'm a part of the decision process at is at the Shakespeare Company.
And rightly so. This also gives you an opportunity to do something out of the purview of the Shakespeare Company. I mean, you tend to do, obviously, Shakespeare, but also classics from other eras. Do you find you enjoy taking a step away and doing more contemporary work?
Yeah, absolutely. It keeps me refreshed. It keeps me inspired. I think that if you are able to do Shakespeare and able to do it well, then it opens up so many possibilities in contemporary plays. The accessibility to contemporary scripts becomes much clearer. And I think that when I'm able to take what I know working in a text-based company and bring that to new works, that I'm able to bring something to the table and that I'm able to become inspired by that type of work and working with new people. And hopefully I'm then able to take that sort of inspiration back to Ray Street.
The playwright Andrew Bevel also wrote Speaking in Tongues.
Correct. It was up at the Playhouse last season.
Did you know you were going to be directing the show when it was playing at Playhouse?
I did not. This sort of happened a little bit later than that. And actually, with the first time I read the play, I did not connect the dots that it was the same playwright. So having talked to some of the actors that worked on Speaking in Tongues and hearing about what a mystery puzzle that was to unlock almost, it feels like if you were a fan of Speaking in Tongues, that this is another play that you might very well be interested in.
Did you find this play was such a puzzle?
I did, but while you're reading it and then in staging it in a way that it is fantastic that you are halfway through it before you get an exact sense of what the big mystery is. So you take half of the play trying to figure it out and then the other half of the play trying to deal with it. So it is a puzzle to be solved by the reader and the audience member, and then in crafting the production and making sure that you show just enough of your hand that you need to at any given time. It takes very precise timing and very strong, nuanced work from the cast.
Well, again, that's the No Theaters production of When the Rain Stops Falling, running February 8th through March the 16th. I'd like to thank this evening's guest, director of When the Rain Stops Falling, Brian Isaac Phillips. Thank you.
Thank you.
For more information on When the Rain Stops Falling and the No Theater, please be sure to visit our website at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Jim Stump.